भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो सिक्स चैप्टर फर्स्ट द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द लाइफ ऑफ अजामिल टेक्स्ट वन कंटिन्यूड श्री परीक्षित उवाच निवृत्ति मार्ग कथित आदौ भगवता यथा क्रमयोगोपलब्धेन ब्रह्मणा यत् संस्कृति Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Half part of the purport was done yesterday, but we'll just still read that. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit said, O my Lord, O Shukadeva Goswami, you have already described in the second canto the path of liberation, Nivritti Marga. By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka, from which one is promoted to the spiritual world, along with Lord Brahma. Thus, one's reputation of birth and death in the material world ceases. Purport. Since Parikshit Maharaj was a Vaishnava, when he heard the description at the end of the fifth canto of the different hellish conditions of life, he was very much concerned with how to liberate the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya and take them back home back to Godhead. Therefore, he reminded his spiritual master Shukadeva Goswami about the Nivritti Marg or path of liberation which he had described in the second canto. Maharaj Parikshit, who at the time of death was fortunate to have met Shukadeva Goswami, inquired from Shukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation at that crucial time. Shukadeva Goswami very much appreciated his question and congratulated him by saying, Varyan eshate prashna kruta loka hitam nrpa atmamat sammata punsa shota vyadishu yatpa yahapara. My dear king, your question is so glorious because it is very beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is a prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. Bhagavatam 2.1.1. Parikshit Maharaj was astonished that the living entities in the conditioned state do not accept the path of liberation, devotional service, instead of suffering in so many hellish conditions. This is a symptom of a Vaishnava. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyavacha. A Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy, paradukha-dukhi. He is unhappy because of the unhappiness of others. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, being compassionate towards the conditioned souls suffering in hellish life, suggested that Shukadeva Goswami continue describing the path of liberation. While he had explained in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The word asamsruti is very important in this connection. Samsruti refers to continuing on the path of birth and death. Asamsruti, on the contrary, refers to Nivritti Mar, or the path of liberation, by which one's birth and death cease, and one gradually progresses to Brahmaloka. Unless one is a pure devotee who does not care about going to the higher planetary systems, in which case one immediately returns home back to Godhead by executing devotional service. Tyakta deham punarchan manaiti. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, was very eager to hear from Shukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation for the conditioned soul. According to the opinion of the Acharyas, the word Krama Yoga Palabdhena indicates that by first performing Karma Yoga and then Jnana Yoga and finally coming to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one can be liberated. Bhakti Yoga, however, is so powerful that it does not depend on Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is itself so powerful that even an impious man with no assets in Karma Yoga or an illiterate with no assets in Jnana Yoga can undoubtedly be elevated to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to Bhakti Yoga. Mamaveshasamshaya. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8.7 that by the process of Bhakti Yoga, one undoubtedly goes back to Godhead, back home to the spiritual world. Yogis, however, instead of going directly to the spiritual world, sometimes want to see other planetary systems, and therefore they ascend to the planetary system where Lord Brahma lives, as indicated here by the word Brahmana. At the time of dissolution, Lord Brahma, along with all the inhabitants of Brahmaloka, goes directly to the spiritual world. This is confirmed in the Vedas as follows. Brahmana sahate sarve samprapte prati sanchare parasyante krutatmana pravishanti param padam. Because of their exalted position, those who are on Brahmaloka at the time of dissolution go directly back home, back to Godhead, along with Lord Brahma. Hare Krishna. So in this verse, continuation of the first verse, here we can see Srila Prabhupada explains the mood of Parikshit Maharaj. He explains that after hearing the 5 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, what was the reaction of Parikshit Maharaj? Especially when he heard the description of hellish planets, which describe various hellish reactions for a person who tries to enjoy in this material world. Parikshit Maharaj is not happy that these people are going to suffer and I am going back home, back to God. But he is feeling compassionate. He is feeling that why these people are suffering. And he failed a little bit that this type of explanation by Shukadeva Goswami is for those people, those who are totally ignorant about the various reactions of their sinful activities. And such kind of description is sometimes needed to awaken someone from the mode of ignorance. One who is in darkness, one who is not in knowledge, what is going to happen? For such people, such kind of description is essential. Because unless you explain them that this is going to be reaction, they may not take the process seriously. They may think that, okay, what is the problem? I can enjoy in this mental world, and who has seen what is going to happen after death? Is there any hellish planet? So one may become casual in one's life. So therefore, such kind of description is necessary. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj mood is totally different. He is a Vaishnava, and he is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam at that time when he is about to die, within few days. And he is not thinking that if I hear this type of description, it is simply a waste of time, or why should I be bothered about other people? Let me just hear the topmost topics in 10 canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But he's feeling that why these people are suffering and how they can be elevated from such suffering, how they can be relieved from such kind of suffering. And therefore, in that compassionate mood, he is asking Shukadeva Goswami to explain the path of Nivritti Marg. There are two types of paths in the Vedic literatures, Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. Pravritti Marg means the path of controlled sense gratification. It is not just sense gratification, as some people think, but it is a regulated life. One has to practice in order to become detached from this material world. And Nivritti Marg means path of detachment. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking that you please explain this Nivritti Marg. And he is not telling Shukadeva Goswami because he knows something better than him. Sometimes some people ask questions or even sometimes suggest, thinking that they want to impress sometimes. Oh, I can ask such question. Or I can speak something which nobody had thought about. But that was not the mood of Parikshit Maharaj. He's suggesting, he's requesting Shukadeva Goswami in a very, very compassionate mood. Because he's paradukha-dukhi. He's unhappy because of the unhappiness of others. And he is able to see that this is going to be a reaction. These are the various planets one may suffer if one does not take to the highest path. Even if somebody takes the path of karma yoga, then jnana yoga, and then bhakti yoga, still, one may be elevated to Brahma Loka, Nivritti by the process of Nivritti Marg. And then after the annihilation of this material world, along with Brahma, one can go to the spiritual world. But he's thinking that why these people are suffering, and he's requesting Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj to explain the process by which these people can be elevated. So this is very, very important, the mood of Parikshit Maharaj to be understood, that they are not just hearing Bhagavatam, or they are not just speaking Bhagavatam, but they are living Bhagavatas. Their whole thought process is Bhagavatas, is in the mood of compassionate, in the mood of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, as it is described, is paradukha dukhi. He is unhappy because of unhappiness of others. He is not paradukha sukhi. So that is their life. They are living Bhagavatas. So therefore, that has an effect. Therefore, the whole dialogue between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami is recorded here by Srila Vyasadeva. And we are reciting these topics, and by hearing or by discussing such topics, we'll get purified. One should have faith in this process of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevay bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nishtake. It is explained that by regular hearing, by giving regular hearing, Srila Prabhupada attending regularly Bhagavatam classes, one can be freed from all anarthas, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, all impurities within the heart can be removed. Because by other processes like karma yoga, one has to perform so many ritualistic activities so that gradually one becomes purified. And then afterwards, when he elevates from that position, then one may perform Jnana Yoga. One has to cultivate knowledge about the transcendental subject matter. And afterwards, then when he situates himself in the devotional service, then one can become free from the cycle of birth and death. Because only by karma yoga or jnana yoga or by ashtanga yoga, one cannot achieve perfection. Srila Narottam Das Thakur explains that karma kanda jnana kanda kevala vishera bhanda. He explains that this karma kanda process, or by cultivation of knowledge, these types of process are like the pots of poison. Because still by performing all these processes, one is not guaranteed that one can become free from cycle of birth and death. Because by karma yoga, if one performs properly, then one may be elevated to the various upper planetary systems, heavenly planet or little higher planets. But still, when that pious activities are over, then again, shine punya marta lokam vishanti. One again falls down to this mortal world, and again repetition of birth and death. And even somebody may elevate himself to higher planetary systems, or even one may achieve liberation, impersonal liberation. He may merge into impersonal Brahma Jyoti, But still, to achieve that path or that perfection is itself so difficult. And Lord Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, Klesho adhikarastesham, avyakta asakti chetasam. Those who are attached to this type of monistic concept are, for them the process itself is so difficult. Klesho adhikarastesham. And even if they achieve that perfection, they have to fall down. Because Aruya Krishna Param Padatata Patanti Anardutishmudangre. Because they do not have any attachment to the service to the lotus feet of the Lord. They do not have any taste in serving the Supreme Lord or the process of devotional service. Therefore, they fall down. And Srila Prabhupada explains, it is just like one may rise in the sky by aeroplane and one may wander in the sky. But if he does not find any suitable place, then he has to come down. And the fuel is over, he has to come down. So similarly, other processes are like that. When one may achieve some kind of perfection, but that is not the ultimate perfection. So therefore, they have to come down. And in today's world, there are so many organizations or processes are there. They are promising that you will achieve this, you will achieve that. But they can't guarantee that you can become free from cycle of birth and death eternally and go back home, back to Godhead, where that is your eternal home. They can't guarantee like that. And therefore, those who are ignorant, they get attracted to such processes because they don't say that you have to follow this strictly or like that. They give some false promises that you may achieve such kind of siddhi or perfection, and people are misled and they do not take to the highest process of devotional service. Even here about mystic yoga, it is explained that one may go to the higher planets, and in the 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that how difficult it is for a mystic yogi to achieve perfection. First of all, he has to achieve that perfection within a particular period. When the sun is traveling into the sphere, it should be sunlight and so many strict injunctions are there or strict points are there by which if one is not able to follow it very precisely, and even if he gives up his soul, by mistake he has to fall down. He has to come back again in this material world. So much danger is there in practicing such kind of processes. But devotional service, it is explained that one can achieve the perfection very easily and very happily. Because the devotional process itself is very simple in one sense. There is not difficult things are asked. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Last week we saw Prahlad Maharaj. He was having complete faith in the devotional process. Although in his own home, he had to face his own father. who was so demonic, and he was always trying to destroy his devotional service. But still, he maintained that faith. And by that faith, one can achieve the impossible. It is explained that one who has faith, he can see the invisible. What is invisible, which is not been achieved, people generally are not able to see, he can see that. He can feel the intangible. What is intangible, which is not able to, one is not able to perceive other ordinary person, he can feel that. And he can achieve the impossible. People may ridicule that, oh, why you are wasting time by practicing this devotional process? You are simply wasting time chanting Hare Krishna. There are, when a neophyte devotee meets such hardcore atheist, and when they challenge him, then his faith gets disturbed. Oh, really? This, how can I put faith in this process? Because I don't know whether I'll be able to achieve perfection. Whether, I don't know whether I may go back home, back to Godhead in the next life. Or what may happen if there are problems. Means if I don't get food properly, there are problems in the society. So a neophyte faith is disturbed when he is confronted with such kind of people. But one who has got transcendental faith, he can achieve the impossible. What is impossible for an ordinary person, he can achieve that. And this phenomena we can even see in the materialistic, that even the materialistic people put faith in their materialistic theories. They can see what other people also could not see. For example, so many inventions are done. Thomas Alva Edison, he was trying to invent the light bulb, electricity. He was failing so many times. So many thousands of times he made experiments, but still he failed. People were ridiculing him that you are not able to, you are not successful. But still he kept on trying. What was the faith? He was optimistic. He was thinking that, he took in a very, very positive way. He felt that so many times I am not able to achieve perfection. That means these are the things which I should not be following, these experiments. And then he was trying something else, and one day he was successful. So this is a complete materialistic example. Even those who invented aeroplanes, some Wright brothers, they were there. They were trying to make so many experiments, riding on the bicycle and taking some kind of fans and trying to fly. People were ridiculing them. They were saying that men are not supposed to fly, men are supposed to walk, birds fly. And in this way they were ridiculing them. But still they kept on trying. And because of that, we can see that nowadays people, they are very eager to fly. Very eager to back home, go to different places in other, even in this material world. Different countries they want to go. Because some person, some people had tried that way. They had given up all their external designations to invent something new. So even such materialistic people can achieve the perfection in a materialistic way. What to speak of a devotee who has already taken shelter of the transcendental process. And on this process, it is not that he himself is venturing first. We can see the so many examples already in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those who have already achieved the highest perfection, there are so many examples. And therefore, one has to simply follow in their footsteps and should not worry or should not try to adjust the situation. Sometimes in the neophyte level, one is not able to adjust the situation, means is not able to practice properly. Then he tries to adjust the whole material world, that this is not proper, that is not proper. And somebody disturbs him, then he disturbs everyone. And he tries to become the controller and the master. So that's the very, very beginning stage. One has to come above that and tolerate the difficulties in the devotional service. And then one can develop the transcendental faith by which he can achieve the impossible. Because going back home, back to Godhead, is not so easy. It may appear very easy that in the beginning somebody comes and thinks that, oh, wow, very nice process. Simply chant, dance, and take Krishna Prasad and go back home, back to Godhead. Yes, of course, the process is that easy. But we are not so easy. We want to become things complicated. If someone has faith, then simply by chanting, dancing and taking Krishna Prasad, one can go back home, back to God. That is possible. And there are so many examples. Even in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, their associates, they showed that how this is possible. And there are so many pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, their empowered representatives, that if somebody even hears those pastimes, one can develop faith, one can achieve the perfection. For example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came, he showed the power of devotional service. He showed that you do not have to practice something which is very difficult, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, but simply chant, dance, and you can achieve the perfection. And he defeated Mayavadis like Sarvam Bhattacharya or Prakashananda Saraswati, those who were very much attached to Vedanta, Vedantic studies, converted them, he made them devotees. And then when he was going into the forest of Jharikhanda, he made even the animals dance by the chanting process. So we can see that how the process is so powerful, that if somebody practices it, one can achieve the perfection. There are so many examples. One may think that, oh Lord, he was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and it was possible for him to induce everyone to chant and dance. But what about us? We are not on that level. But even we can see that if somebody is empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Even if they say to chant or dance or to practice devotional service, one can achieve the perfection. For example, there was one associate of Lord Nityananda. It is explained that he was both associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. His name was Srila Gadadhar Das. He was asked to chant and induce everyone to chant the holy name. And he was born in some place near Calcutta, India, Agra, something. And he used to tell everyone to chant and dance. And there was one Muslim Qazi who was there. He was very atrocious. And he was troubling all Hindus. He was not allowing them to chant or practice the process of congregation chanting. So, Srila Gadadhar Das had faith in the process. And he wanted Qazi to chant the holy name. So he fearlessly went in his house in the dead of the night and told Qazi to chant the holy name. He almost shouted at him. Qazi was, he was so atrocious, but seeing the vehement approach of Srila Gadadhar Das, he became a little bit fearful. And he was trying to gather himself first of all and wanting to know what is happening. Why this devotee is coming and asking me to chant in the dead of the night. And he said that, yes, yes, I will chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. So at that time, Srila Gadadhar Das was in ecstasy. Because he told that, why tomorrow? You have chanted Hare Krishna today. And he started chanting and dancing and went back. So we can see that because Srila Gadadhar Das had faith in the process, that this process works, that even such hardcore atheist people, those who may not even utter once the holy name of the Lord, for them there is no hope. We can see we may encounter so many such people in Kali Yuga, especially when somebody goes out to distribute books or give prasadam. One may see that there are so many people, those who even do not look at what you are doing, or sometimes they ridicule at your activities, or even sometimes they throw away prasadam. Even such people can be changed if we have faith in the process. So therefore, here Parikshit Maharaj is in a very, very compassionate mood. He is asking Shukadeva Goswami to explain the process of devotional service, because this type of explanation here given in the fifth canto has made Parikshit Maharaj more compassionate. He is feeling that these people are suffering because of their sinful activities, because of their ignorance. And even if they hear, even if somebody cultivates that knowledge, still that tendency to commit sinful activities is not eradicated. Because a person who is an intelligent person, he learns by hearing. A first-class person, Srila Prabhupada explains, that one who is a first-class person, he simply hears once that this is bad. And he will learn, okay, I should not be doing this. And he gives the example of thief. Stealing is bad, and if someone steals, then one will be punished. And someone hears that, then one will not steal. That is a first-class person. That is an intelligent person. But second type of person, he hears that stealing is bad, but he steals. So that is second type of person. He still continues to steal. And another type of person is that he sees that, okay, after stealing one is punished, then he rectifies himself, oh, I should not be stealing, I'll be punished. When he gets punishment, then he rectifies himself. But the last type of person is, he hears that stealing is bad, he sees others stealing, and because of that they're suffering, and he himself is getting caught, and he suffers, but again when he comes out of the suffering, he again steals, and he again is suffered. So in this way, one continues in the cycle of suffering. He continues the cycle of birth and death. Because the tendency of committing sinful activities is not eradicated. So that is the main cause of suffering in this material world. And here later, Srila Parikshit Maharaj, he is explaining that this type of process of atonement, according to me, is like kunjara shauchavat. That sometimes an elephant is seen taking bath in a pond or a lake. Very nicely he goes in the pond and he puts water in his trunk and splashes all over his body. And it looks very nice that he's making such wonderful pastimes. But as soon as he comes out, then what happens? As soon as he sees the dirt there, he puts that dirt all over his body. Because it is conditioning that he, as soon as he sees the dirt, he has to take that dirt in his trunk and splash over his body. So that is a condition. So therefore, a conditioned soul also, when he sees that, when he gets purified, sometimes by the process of devotional service also, one may get purified. But sometimes, when he sees the sense objects, because the tendency is very strong, when he sees the sense object, again that tendency develops to enjoy this material world. And this type of process, Srila Parikshit Maharaj is explaining, it is like kunjara shauchavat. It is like an elephant's bath. So therefore, such kind of purification has no effect. That someone commits sinful activities, again gets purified, again commits sinful activities. Because in the process, in the Vedic literatures, there are different types of atonements are given. That you perform these sinful activities, okay, you make this atonement. And then you are freed from that suffering. And again, one is free from that suffering. But again, because the tendency has not completely eradicated from the heart, because there is no higher attachment, because one has not developed the higher taste, again one goes back to the lower state, because he doesn't know how to remain on the highest platform. So therefore one has to come down again to the lowest platform. So therefore Parikshit Maharaj is saying that such type of processes are not very useful for a conditioned soul. Even if they practice tapasa, brahmacharyena, shamena, damena, cha, tyagena, satya, saucha, abhyan, yamena, niyamena, va, He explained there are so many processes. One practices very strictly all the things, practices austerity, practices brahmacharya, controls the senses, mind, tyagena, he makes sacrifices, yamena, niyamena, all the rules and regulations of Ashtanga Yoga and all these different processes. But still, one cannot become free from that because he has not developed the higher taste. He is still, he will come back again to the lower things. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is requesting here to Shukadeva Goswami to explain the power of devotional service. How this process of devotional service is so powerful? Because simply by chanting and dancing, one can achieve the highest perfection. And therefore, here Shukadeva Goswami is also impelled to explain the narration of Ajamil. Because this pastime of Ajamil graphically explains the power of the holy name. That holy name is so powerful that Ajamil was so sinful that he had committed so many sinful activities. He was, of course, a pure Brahmana. He was practicing everything properly. But because of his past life, conditionings overcame. And again he fell back to the sinful activities, abominable activities. But how he was freed from that also? Because all the different hells which were explained in the previous canto, they were waiting for him. Because he had performed all these sinful activities. All these hellish planets, he had to suffer because of all his sinful activities. But because he chanted the holy name in a helpless condition, and how he chanted, he was not calling the Supreme Lord to help him. He was calling his son, Narayan, whose name happened to be Narayan. And he was in that helpless situation, was calling his son Narayan, because he saw that such ghastly creatures coming to take him at the time of death. So he was attached to his son Narayan. Every time he would ask Narayan, have you taken prasad Narayan? Have you taken water? Where are you Narayan? Everyone was chanting and that was getting purified. And at that time of death, he saw that, oh, these people are coming and these are very horrible looking creatures. And who are these? Narayana, help me. So in this way, he chanted in a helpless condition. And that chanting of the holy name also helped him. So that is a power in the holy name. That is the process, how this process works. Srila Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the power of the holy name. And therefore, it is very important to chant in the helpless condition. Srila Prabhupada explained that one should chant the holy name of the Lord just like a child mother in a helpless condition. And then one can get the benefit of the holy name. Of course, we have been asked to chant the holy name and to avoid 10 kinds of offenses. Because we do not chant in that desperate mood, and one of the offenses, commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Sometimes you may think that, okay, chanting is so powerful and it can help me to become free from all these sinful activities. As it is helping me. So let me commit some sinful activities and let me chant again. So that is an offense in one sense, nama prad. So therefore one has to be free from all such namaprag. Then one can go to the higher level of chanting the holy name in a pure state. Namabhas. One can develop the taste to the holy name. And then Shuddha Naam, then the pure Naam will come. So therefore, we have been asked to chant the holy name at least in a regulated way, avoiding 10 kinds of offenses. And if someone can practice this simple method of chanting, then this success is guaranteed. One does not have to worry that whether I'll be able to achieve perfection at the time of death. Because at the time of death, it is not so easy. Other types of processes will not help. One cannot perform karma yoga at the time of death. One cannot perform jnana yoga or ashtanga types of yoga at the time of death. But one has to simply depend upon the holy name. So that is very much essential. And that we can achieve at the time of death when we are sincerely chanting throughout our lives and making our lives sublime by this process of devotional service. So therefore, somebody takes this process in that attitude, then one can achieve the highest perfection of life. And at the time of death, one will go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any questions or comments?